have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Green. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. We have an awesome show lined up for you tonight as the Bishop tackles kingdom issues and current events. But first, let's receive First Lady Sharon Richard with her faithful financial moments. Good evening, First Lady.
All right, come on, First Lady. First Lady, come on, you're muted. Go ahead, mercy. Come on, I'm looking for you. You should be on right now. You're on. She's got you out there. I don't know what's going on here. Come on. Come on. You may not even be able to do it right now. Jesus have mercy. There ain't one thing, it's another. Come on, come on. Get off the phone with me. Get on the line. My goodness. Folks, please forgive me. One thing I will say for those of you, I know podcasts are one thing, you can kind of work around certain things, but I will simply say that when you're part of a radio podcast, you must be in your place. There's no two ways around that. Timmy Ken, move on to Nina Taylor, please. Move on.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nina Taylor. Here's your gospel news for this week. With his soulful tenor vocals and contemporary gospel style, Smokey Norfolk is one of the brightest lights on the gospel scene today. The son of an African Methodist Episcopal minister, Norfolk spent his first 14 years of life in Muskogee, Oklahoma. By the age of 2, he was picking out melodies on the piano. By the age of 4, he was actively playing and singing at his father's church. By the age of 10, he was a featured artist on a custom album assembled by a regional music director. Although music was his enduring passion, Norfolk instead opted to study history at the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff, eventually working as a history instructor for 4 years before relocating to Chicago in 1998. He then pursued his master's in divinity at Garrett Theological Seminary. Norfolk remained in Chicago as an assistant pastor at the Rock of Ages Baptist Church. He was active with many choirs, eventually catching the ear of Joanne Brunson, leader of the Thompson Community Choir. She asked him to sing one of her original songs on the choir's Real album, which essentially launched Norfolk's professional singing career. His debut solo album, I Need You Now, was released by Chardon Records in 2002, followed by a live album called Limited Edition from EMI Gospel in 2003. Norfolk has characterized his music as urban inspirational, a term that allows him to stretch the boundaries of traditional gospel while still remaining true to his purpose. EMI Gospel also released Norfolk's second solo album, Nothing Without You, in 2004. Life Changing appeared in 2006, and in 2009, he released the album Smokey Norfolk Live. Ice skater Star Andrews was born June 23rd of 2001 in Los Angeles, California. She was homeschooled. In her early years, Andrew became interested in figure skating when she was about 3 years old. Derek Delmore became a coach in 2013. Andrews played 6th at the novice level in 2016 in the U.S. Championships. Andrews decided to move up to the junior level, coached by Delmore, making her international debut. She won the junior ladies title at the Golden Bear of Zagreb in October of 2016. In January, she received the junior silver medal at the 2017 U.S. Championships. After Amber Glenn withdrew, Andrews was added to the U.S. team to the 2017 World Junior Championships in Taiwan. At the end of the event held in March, she qualified to the final segment by placing 9th in the short program and went on to finish 12th overall. At her first Grand Prix assignment, the 2022 Skate Canada International, she finished 5th in the short program. She then surprised many by finishing 2nd in the free skate, rising to take the silver medal. She became the first African-American woman to medal in singles in the Grand Prix that began back in 1995. In the black community, voting is our collective power. Souls to the Polls is part of a national faith-based movement to register and inform potential voters on the importance of our voting power. This year, election 2022, during this midterm election, all 435 seats in the House of Representatives and 35 of the 100 seats in the Senate will be contested. 39 state and territorial gubernatorial elections, as well as numerous other state and local elections, will be contested. The results will determine the 118th United States Congress. Now is the time to harness the power of our voting that was fought for and use it. Be sure to get out and vote in election 2022 because your vote counts and matters. Let's take our souls to the poll. Here's this week's top 10 gospel songs. Number 10, Not Ready by Naomi Rank. Number 9, Impossible by Pastor Mike Jr. featuring James Fortune. Number 8, God Did It Again by Brandon Anderson. Number 7, Your World by Jonathan McReynolds. 6, Lord, I Hear You by Lucinda Moore. 5, New by Ty Tribbett. Number 4, Call by Jordan Armstrong featuring Erica Campbell. Number 3, Let Him In by Jokia. Number 2, You've Been Good to Me by Zacardi Cortez. And number 1 now for 2 weeks in a row, Kingdom by Maverick City Music and Kirk Franklin featuring Naomi Rain and Chandler Moore. Well, that's your top 10 songs and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Green. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. We have an awesome show lined up for you tonight as the Bishop tackles kingdom issues and current events. But first, let's receive First Lady Sharon Richard with her faithful financial moments. Good evening, First Lady.
Good evening, Jerry. This is Sharon Richard with your faithful financing moment. For many people, achieving their destiny seems to be hindered by a lack of financial resources. I have a friend that worked for several years on a project that she believed was God's will for her to accomplish. While it appeared that the service she was offering had a lot of potential to help a lot of people, she struggled because of limited financial resources to fully launch her vision. As I spoke with her, she talked about her struggles to pay her basic household bills, such as utilities, and was in a significant amount of debt. In Luke chapter 16, verse 11, Jesus asks, "So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches?" The ministry that is blessed by God will only come when we have learned to be faithful in managing what God has already given us. We must study and meditate on God's word with regard to our finances. This, in conjunction with prayer, will enable you to determine God's will for your life in regard to the money he has already entrusted to you. As you implement God's financial principles, God will provide you with his peace and joy in regard to finances, and you will begin to see the development of an effective ministry. Luke 16 and 10 says, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much." God is waiting for you to develop an effective ministry, but he needs to see your faithfulness first. My friend was waiting for the money to just come to her. She was working hard and couldn't understand why the financial resources eluded her. She thought that working hard on her ministry guaranteed a financial blessing for its success. While working hard is important, we must remember that how we utilize the resources already entrusted to us is just as important. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, we are told, "Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful." Meditate on God's word and ask him to help you to be faithful in managing your finances. This is Sharon Richard with your faithful financing moment. Up next, Nina Taylor, followed by Open Mic with the Bishop, with your host, Bishop Ernest E. Richard Jr. and Company.
Hello, I'm Nina Taylor. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. This show tackles kingdom issues and current events from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Bishop and Company for today's discussion. Good evening, Bishop.
And good evening to you, Nina Taylor. So happy to have everybody with me tonight. God bless each and every one of you. Those of you who actually are on the line, and those of you who are with us by way of social media. Tonight, I want to welcome new social media. We're using Super Live tonight, along with Facebook Live, and, of course, my good people from TikTok. We appreciate each and every one of you coming in and being with us. I'm Bishop Ernest E. Richard, Jr. I am your host for tonight. But yes, I do have a show that's going to be relevant. It's always raw and it's always real. It talks about what's going on in the community. So let's do this first. Let's find out who is with us tonight and what is our panel going to consist of. With me tonight, my newest co-host, and I so appreciate her, from Indianapolis, Indiana. I want you to welcome in Pastor Anna Henderson. Welcome, Pastor Anna Henderson.
Good evening, good evening, and I'm so grateful to be here tonight. Amen. We welcome each one of you, amen, to our broadcast tonight. We thank God for you, and I'm so glad to be with you on tonight, Bishop.
All right. He cut a little short there. I don't know exactly what happened. But now I want to check and see who else is with us. Has Prophet and Apostle Isaac, have you been able to join us tonight? Timmy, are we having technical difficulties? I need to know, sweetie. I can't see you because everything's in operation tonight.
All the, I have unmuted all night. There's no issue.
Okay, so the Isaacs are not with us. Well, let's do this. Rather than me going off, let's find out who is with us tonight by way of panel discussion. Let me know that you're there. You have to speak up quickly because...
I'm there, yep. I'm here.
All right. Now, this young lady right here, ladies and gentlemen, she is a radio vet, and she knows how I feel about dead air. So I ain't even going to have to talk to her all night about dead air. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Evangelist Lauren Bishop Brown. Welcome, Evangelist. How are you tonight?
I'm very welcome. Thank you, Bishop. I'm doing well. Thank you so much.
All right. Do we have anybody else with us tonight? Going once, going twice, and going three times. You have to announce yourself at a later date. Last but by no means least, I want to say hello to my producer, Dr. Kimmy Robinson. Dr. Robinson, how are you tonight? Talk to me.
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing wonderful. You sound a little far away from your phone, but that's quite all right. Maybe we can get that to adjust. I just want to take a moment to let you know we started talking. Now, I got to let those in the that are on social media, I got to get you up to speed on where we are. Last month, we understand and we are all aware of the fact that we talked about breast cancer awareness, and we celebrated the entire month with breast cancer awareness. Then we turned around and we made our way, and I believe Apostle Vincent L. Smith may be with us. I'll check in just a moment. And then we found out that we were in the process of celebrating Pastor's Appreciation Month. Now, the one thing that wasn't talked about a lot last month was domestic violence. So I've chosen the month of November to start talking about domestic violence. And our subject tonight is the theme of abuse. And we're going to talk about the seven or eight areas of abuse. We won't talk about all of it tonight. We're going to pick up where we left off last week, and we're going to move forward. But before we do, I'm going to ask I'm elevated you again. Pastor Henderson, if you would read scripture for us. I think it's Psalm 137 and then Psalm 107. And then Evangelist Brown, can I get you to pray us in tonight, please?
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
All right. Come on.
Yes, sir. Our scripture reading is Psalms 137. I'm going to start with verse 1. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept. When we remember Zion, we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they carried us away captive, required of us to sing. Recite of us a song, excuse me. And they that wasted, required of a mirth, saying, sing us one of those songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget the cunning. And then Psalms 107 and verse 20, he sent his word, and he healed them and delivered them from their destruction.
All right. And we have Psalms, 107 coming up next, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, actually, that was the last one I read, Psalms 107 and 20.
You sure did, and he healed it, and he sent the word, and he healed them. I should have been paying attention. All right, that's one against me. So it's you guys three and me one. Let me stop. That doesn't even make sense. Anyway, Evangelist Brown, we can get started.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Let us go to the throne of grace. Father God, we thank you, praise you for who you are, the head of our lives, oh God. We thank you for your awesomeness. We thank you for your strength, oh God. We thank you for your power, oh God. Most of all, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for his shed blood, because through his shed blood, we're forgiven of our sins, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for forgiveness. And, Lord, we ask you in a mighty way, let there be healing and deliverance and restoration, building up. Let it come from our exchanges on tonight, oh God. Let us be able to exchange great wisdom and words with each other, oh God. And we thank you, Lord, for just coming in and taking over, oh God. And Lord, when you do these things, we'll never, ever take the credit for it, because all the credit belongs to you, oh God. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Well, we started talking about, the impact of abuse. You have heard last week we began to get into some areas of abuse. We started talking about physical abuse. Now, I do want to point something out as we get ready to go into tonight's discussion. And before I do that, Apostle Smith, have you made it in tonight, sir? Apostle Smith going once. Apostle Smith going twice. Apostle Smith, if you make it, we'll see you when you get here. Bless the Lord. Anyway, we started talking about different types of abuse, and I'll say this, if you're not actually speaking, do me a favor and, you know, except for you, Pastor Henderson, mute your mic, because we want to reduce as much background noise as we possibly can. I greatly appreciate that. We try to eliminate as much background noise as we possibly can. I know sometimes we can't help it, but when we can, that's what we want to do. All right, we started talking about some different types of abuse. One of the first places that we started was physical, and I do want to say that when we talk about these various types of abuse, for love, please keep in mind that an intimate partner violence can occur in so many different forms, regardless of whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, or it takes on some other form. Abuse often follows an escalating pattern in which the controlling behaviors worsen over time. Now, the abusive partner may use oppressions and oppressive systems and something that's already set in our society to assert his or her privileges against other persons. Last week, we talked about physical abuse, and we talked about some of the symptoms and some of the signs of physical abuse, and some of the more recognized forms of physical abuse may include behaviors such as hitting or slapping or punching or kicking, taking a cigarette and burning your spouse, and in some cases, choking or strangulation. And in other cases, it could be property damage where they punch a hole in the wall or they throw a lamp or something of that nature. You know, they may turn around and refuse medical care or some type of controlling medications. And, you know, I don't know why our society today feels like you need medication to control behaviors, when the truth of the matter, all the medication really does is sedate the individual who seems to have anger issues. There are a lot of scriptures in the Bible that talk about anger, that talk about us controlling our anger. And those people who do physical abuse have literal anger issues. They coerce partners in substance abuse. And in some cases, we find the use of weapons, you know, knives, guns, rope, and things of that nature. This is a real subject, people. This is a real subject. And tonight, we're going to pick up, because we started talking about we started talking about physical abuse, but there are two we're going to add tonight, emotional abuse and verbal abuse. And we're going to try to stick to those, as close to those as we can. So, Pastor Henderson, let me get your opening statement, and then Evangelist Brown, I'm going to look for you. And then again, Dr. Kimmy Robinson and First Lady Sharon, if you're still with us, I do want to hear from you. So let's go in that order. Let me start with you, Pastor Henderson.
Yes, when I think about verbal abuse, it really ties into emotional abuse because it's a way in which one tries to take control or manipulate one. And when I think about that, I was even thinking as you were talking, I was kind of thinking back in the word, how I could relate back to the word. I thought about how when the enemy came up against God's people and they wrote the letter and sent the letter to them, kind of like giving them threatening words about what they were going to do when they came in combat with them. And I remember the prophet lifting it up, if I'm not mistaken, before the Lord, and putting it before the Lord and telling them of what this letter has said, what their enemies have said. And the enemy is always using words, trying to use words and communicate in a way that will be threatening or intimidating. And I was thinking that is really the opposition of the enemy who tries to come against, you know, God's people and not only that, just individuals. And really, God has given us authority over that because our words do have power. We hear people say that, you know, sticks and stones can break your bones, but words never hurt you. But that's not true because words do carry power. And when words are misused, it does cause harm emotionally, physically, and all other areas of one's life. And so it's so important that we understand when that is happening and be able to stand against it and be able to pray against it because it's an attack of the enemy against one's life when they are in that situation. And sometimes it leaves one feeling helpless and hopeless and they feel like they can't do anything. But God has given us power to be able to deal with that. So I think this is a really good topic tonight because I believe a lot of people deal with it, encounter it, and sometimes they really don't even realize it's happening because they've gotten so used to the conversation piece being normal, and they look at it as being normal. But God doesn't want his people to be abused in any form or fashion, and that is not the will of God.
Amen, amen. Evangelist Brown.
Yes.
Come on, talk to me. Give me your opening. Go ahead.
As a victim of verbal abuse, I have to agree with Pastor Henderson. It can be a control factor. Also, I find that it's very, very rare, unfortunately, that the human mind forgets anything. So when you're in a situation like that, you can be away from that person or, you know, not even realizing that you're thinking about that person, and it will bring up a traumatic moment or it'll bring up another memory, you know, and it says in the Holy Scripture, our words are very powerful. Life, power of life and death is in our tongue. And literally when you do stuff like that to other people, you are not only, I would say, committing murder, but you're also just taking God's creation and belittling it. And I find that to be it's disheartening, number one, and especially when it comes from a parent. It was one of my parents. And to go over that and realize that, number one, I didn't realize until decades later that it was a form of abuse. Unfortunately, it's also been with this person, with my the parent's siblings also. And it came from their generation before them. So unfortunately, it can be a generational cycle until someone actually recognizes it, calls it out, because we're people of faith, prays it out of the person, prays over that person. It can be a cycle that continues. And it's very important. Yeah. For me, it was very important for me as a mom of a daughter. I had to be very mindful what I said to her. And I had to think about the things that were said to me, accusations that were beyond fathomable, things I wasn't even interested in, wasn't even doing, but that was what I was called. And at the age of 16, it crushed me. And it took me years to understand where it came from, you know. And I think sometimes, yes, hurting people hurt other people, but also I believe that in our communities, each and every community, black, white, red, yellow, there are certain patterns that we think are right or think are working patterns, and we'll go behind and do what someone else has done. And parenting, number one, is no joke, because I'm not your friend. But also parenting has to be something where you are knowledgeable about what that person needs and being able to speak well of your children is a very, very important thing. Coming from the classroom,
right,
25 years teaching, to see what some of these parents said to their children, how they cussed at their children. And then you expect us as teachers or as educators to remove that stench from that child, to nurture that child back when you're going to repeat the same cycle tomorrow. It's a very, very, it has to be a process where you're sticking to it, so to speak. You know what I mean? And there are certain, you know, things that we teachers, you know, we were mandated reporters, but there are certain things you couldn't really get involved in because you knew if you said something in the wrong manner, that parent was going to go back to that child and cause that child further damage. You follow?
Okay. I follow.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
it's a lot.
All right. I'm listening to you, and let me come right back to you. Dr. Robinson, something you want to set in there?
Well, I am a victim of formal verbal abuse. So, you know, you're not really equipped until you actually been through it, in my opinion, because I never heard of verbal abuse. Actually, it's more damaging than physical abuse because you're taking away someone's mental stability. And so I find myself in a situation because I wasn't prepped for that. We are all talk about, we have always been aware of the physical, but never the mental, such as financial, spiritual, sexual, things of that sort. And studies have shown that that type of abuse tends to be more deadly because it can cause nervous breakdown, it can cause health issues, and people tend to the recovery is a lot, takes a little bit more longer. But at the same time, I don't undermine any abuse because people need to understand that you don't have a right, the person who's been the abuser doesn't have a right to abuse because, once again, like my sister says, God created us all, and we're supposed to love on each other. So basically, abuse is very damaging, and when that person is the abuser, either they're insecure or they were abused themselves. So it's a trigger. Sometimes it trickles down from their childhood or how they were mistreated. And people don't realize also there are abuse in the job market, you know, like how bosses may downgrade their, how they may mistreat their employees. And that's another sign that you need to watch out for, too, because I see a lot of verbal abuse in that way. But abuse is abuse.
I agree with you.
We should all be careful on our words.
Amen. First Lady Sharon, are you with us? Okay. I believe she's – I know we have our great-grandson, our three-year-old great-grandson, and we're so excited to have him, but it kind of changes the dynamic of how we do business. So I do understand if she's MIA from the show, because there are times when he won't, and I'll talk about that in just a minute, but while I'm on it, I might as well say it, because there's, you've mentioned something, Dr. Kenny Robinson, and I was about to share a scenario with everybody, and then we were going to get into it. I'm going to use other scriptures as we talk about verbal / emotional abuse. Now, basically, and you hit the nail on the head, matter of fact, all three of you had very good commentary when it came down to this. Now, every one of us has probably seen or have heard or know somebody that has had one of those days when you wake up late, you feel like you got nothing to put on to go to work, and when you get to work, your boss is on your case about something that you should have did the day before, and he's railing you and riding you all morning long. And while you're on your way to work, perhaps maybe you got stuck in traffic and, you know, your house is abuzz with demand. Everybody needs something, and nobody's thinking about what you have need of, and it's all about them, and it's about to send you over the edge, and you feel your temperature rising, and you feel like the next person that asks you for something or demands something from you is going to hear everything that's bottled up in you from what happened from the time you got up this morning. And in some cases, when you finally do snap And, you know, you feel guilty because you can't figure out how you let yourself get to this point. And now you ask yourself, well, how do I handle this? What do I do with this? That's one side of anger. Now, I know we're born again, baptized, blood-washed believers, and we love the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we do not, under any circumstance, want to find ourselves on the wrong side of Christianity and being out of character, so to speak, when it comes to God and what pertains to God. But I'm reminded in Psalms 37 and 8, which simply says, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It only leads. Well, think about this for a minute. How do you refrain from anger when somebody's verbally putting you down or calling you names or swearing at you and threatening you and making abusive jokes about you or giving you the silent treatment or continually arguing or belittling you and controlling conversations? You say something, they cut right over the top of you as if you were not important whatsoever. They turn around, they start discounting you and criticizing you and blaming you. How do you deal with that kind of thing? Come on, talk to me, ladies.
Silence.
It really takes the Lord to be able to really deal with a verbal abuse, to be able to combat it with the word of God. The scripture says about taking every thought captive and bringing it into obedience to the will and the word of God. And so when those thoughts come and when those reminders, because those words will come back up and you'll think about it again, what they said or how your day started or whatever in the traffic, you know, and you need the word of God, because we can do nothing. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So we need the word of God, and we need the help of God to be able to endure. And we know that many people have endured, have gone through relationships, have gone through marriages, have gone through bullying, have gone through things in the workplace. Amen. And you would never know that they were encountering some of these things. And then on the other side of that, you see the effects of it that you will know, because they begin to be the abuser themselves. So you see two sides. You see one who's able to endure it, and they're able to combat it with the word of God and begin to say that those words that were spoken is not my identity, and they don't identify with the negative words because they have Christ and they're using the word of God to help them in their situations. And then on the other side, that one who does not have or do not know how to battle or how to deal with it from that angle, sometimes you find that individual themselves being the abuser. So they were abused, so they come to work and they're mean at everybody, and they're rough, and they're just over the top, and you're wondering what happened. Well, because we don't know the story of where they left. When they left home, they had to deal with the verbal abuse. They had to deal with all the emotional stress, and so they carried into their workplace. They carried into their day. So, but it takes the Lord to be able to go through and to have that kind of emotional situation going on, that abuse or verbal, to be able to combat it with the word of God and recognizing that your identity is in Christ. And the Bible says we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and we are not what people say, and we are not what people want us to be, and we are not what has been done to us, you know, but we are who Christ is. We are. So reminding ourselves as believers, you know, who we are in Christ, and using the word of God, amen, to combat that, it really helps to be able to deal with those kind of situations so that you are always reminded of who you really are in Christ.
Let me hold you right there, and we're going to try to give everybody at least a minute or two, because, I mean, we can talk about this all night long, but I want to try to get around to everybody. And I don't know if anybody else has joined us on the line. If you have, can you please take this time to identify yourself? Because only Sister Kimmy could tell me who's on the board and who's with us. And unless she mentions your name specifically, I won't know that you are there. And if there is nobody, then Evangelist Brown, I'm going to look for you to come in and chime in on this at this particular time, if you will, please.
Sure. I also realize, and I agree with Pastor Henderson, when you're dealing with any form of abuse, we also have to be very mindful because it can be what they call, I guess, a gateway. Because when you start with one type of abuse, sometimes depending on what the person's background is, it may start out as, you know, verbal abuse. Verbal abuse can go into physical abuse. Physical abuse can go further into financial and emotional. So, unfortunately, it seems like it's a train. And if you don't derail that train through the word of God and knowing God, you're in a difficult position. Because, you know, in my position where I came from, my parents were not safe. So, you know, it was a different experience for me, very different. You know, and my parents were very authoritative, which was understood because they had four. We got four different personalities. You know, we were all different ages. You know, and it was not only a melting time, but it was a time where, unfortunately, as a parent, I realized it too when I became a parent. You also emulate the environment that you come from, meaning, you think that you may be able to work it out the way your mother did. If your mother, for example, with my grandmother, my mom, they got slapped a lot. And it was like, excuse me? And they got slapped in the mouth. And those, my mom's generation, they were born in 34, maybe 40. But it was very odd to hear. And I was like, what? And we didn't get smacked. We got beat. But nothing like what they were, you know, came up through.
Come on.
And a lot of them, even to this day, a lot of my cousins, you know, they would tell us of these horrible stories where their moms would just smack the fire out of them. It's like, are you kidding me? And with that being said, for them to keep doing that and wanting different results, it doesn't work because you alienate that child from you and you also instill fear. That fear is not funny. That fear can turn into a post-traumatic stress disorder. Fear can turn into drug addiction. It can turn into sex addiction. There are so many different avenues that a person can take to try and pacify and or mask that hurt. You know, it's very important that when you discover that hurt, that you need help. But in our community, and this is my opinion, in our community, most people feel like you shouldn't get help. You shouldn't talk to a psychiatrist. You shouldn't talk to a social worker. You should be okay. That's not necessarily true. And I don't think everybody needs therapy, but you know what? By golly, there are some of us who really do. And I believe in the word, but I also believe that we can go and get help. You can get help through the word, through the elders in the church, and also you can go to the, you know, different professions that are provided for.
All right. Well, let me hold you there for a split second. Dr. Robinson, anything you want to throw on the fire while you're here?
Well, basically, Sister Glenda on. And secondly, I agree with what was said. So I'm going to land my plane.
All right. Well, then, Sister G. Johnson. How are you tonight, my sister? God bless you. Thank you for joining us.
Bless you as
well.
How
are you
tonight? I am blessed.
All right. Our topic tonight, as you already know, we are talking about the impact of abuse. And as you know, we talked about physical abuse last week. This week we are tackling verbal and emotional abuse, and I want to hear what you have to say, and I want to just kind of, for our audience that's just coming in, welcome those of you who are coming in, whether you're on Super Live, Facebook Live, or on TikTok, wherever you may be listening to us. I'm Bishop Ernest E. Richard Jr. This is Open Mic with the Bishop and Company, and we're talking about the impact of abuse. We talked about physical abuse last week. This week we're tackling verbal and emotional abuse, and we found out that things like name calling, insulting, blaming your partner for other things, extreme jealousy, intimidation, shaming your partner, humiliating your partner, isolating your partner, controlling what your partner does and where your partner goes, and even talking, these all lead to emotional abuse. And I have to throw this in there, Sister D. Johnson, you come right behind me after I say this. These are also things that can lead to violent crime. There are women in jail had just mentioned. And all we're trying to do is, from a biblical perspective, understand what God expects from us, what we need to do when it comes down to these areas, because there are people right now saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, but they are living a lie because they are living in a hellish state, meaning that the person that said they loved them, the person that took them out of their place of safety and out of the comfort of the home of their mother and father, if that were the case, and brought them, gave them a vision and said, I want to marry you. I want to start a family with you. And the minute they go to put this into operation, she goes in wholehearted and willing and wanting to do this and to help fulfill the vision. And because it's failing in so many different ways, whether it's sex, communication, or money, now these individuals become emotionally abusive or verbally abusive, and they push 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 till this person snaps. Now we've got violence in the house because of the simple fact that the vision that that brother or that sister may have had is not coming into fruition. Sister G. Johnson, come on and fill in what you think and how you feel about the situation concerning verbal and emotional abuse, and how has it affected you?
Okay, I can chime in on that. I didn't experience that in marriage, but I'm experiencing it at the workplace. I'm actually experiencing that now. And I can almost understand why what's happening. I had to watch some videos on violence and so forth and all this kind of stuff in the workplace. Because when we have these so-called supervisors and these people in charge and how they talk to people and how they abuse, you know, their positions and so forth. And so people go through that day in and day out to the point where, as I've heard, you know, they've had enough and they snap. And then we wonder why, you know, when people used to go postal and all this other kind of stuff, you know, because it's abuse. And it's happening every day, you know. Again, like I said, I had to watch these videos, and the very thing, same thing that they're having us watch is actually happening there, and it's frustrating to me because I was an activist in New Jersey, and I'm here in the South now, and I'm seeing it play out. I'm just asking God, keep me near the cross. Keep me near the cross. Because, you know, again, abuse can be with a spouse. It can be on the job. And, you know, you just have to stay prayed up. And I had to confront one of my coworkers that said something outwardly in a meeting about my vote didn't count. And so we had to take that to HR and all this other kind of stuff. But it's deep, and it's a great subject that you're on, you know, tonight as far as the emotional, because when you're messing with people's emotions and you're not, you know, treating them properly or whatever, people, I mean, the average saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost filled person can do something that they regret. I mean, I've had some thoughts that were not good. So I said, oh, Lord,
hello.
bring me back to you, Lord. Just help me, keep me near the cross. And that's all I just want to, you know, just state and add to the conversation. Amen.
All right. Anybody else want to throw in their comments or whatever they may need to do? Because, I mean, I don't want to move too fast, but I want to stay on track, meaning I want to keep attacking this subject because it is an important subject. I mean, there is no need for anybody to get ugly with anybody at any given point in time. Proverbs 14:29 says, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. I'm going to put put this out on the floor. How on earth can you exalt folly when you have a hasty temper? And what does it take to be slow to anger, to gain understanding? What does that mean? Somebody explain this to me. I'm going to pretend like I have no clue. Well, and start talking to me now, because like I said, I want you to treat this like an everyday conversation, like you talk to one of your girlfriends or one of your boyfriends on the telephone. And y'all know when you're sitting on the phone, he don't sit there and say, what you doing? And then you sit there for 50 seconds before you say something. Y'all know how you do on the telephone. You are on the telephone. Come on, tell them, Brown. Bishop don't like dead air.
Right.
Bishop has never liked dead air.
No, they don't. You got to feel it. Let me tackle this one.
Thank you.
Folly is being made foolish or making a fool of yourself or making a fool of someone else. Being slow to anger, it is a thought process. It is taking time to take a deep breath. It is taking time to measure where you are. Even if you have to, they have this thing years ago I learned in psychology. If you're having an issue and you want to get rid of that issue to the best of your knowledge, if you're not saved, because we know we can go to the throne of grace and pray, if you put a rubber band on your wrist, and every time you do something, you know, that you don't want to do or see something you don't want to see, you snap that rubber band. And what you're doing is you're training yourself to recognize the trigger, to recognize what you're doing. And I think that it is very important that we take that step. Our lives have been so inundated with death since the virus came. And it seems like people, are isolated. People have forgotten about other people. But my thing is, when you're doing these things, think about how you made that person feel. And what did you gain from lowering that person? And you're not supposed to even think about, as the word says, committing murder. When you're gossiping about someone and talking about someone in their situation and you're not praying, we're committing murder. Notice I said we. I haven't been saved all my life. I've only been saved about 35, 40 years. Pray for me.
Come on.
And I think it's important. Like I said, my favorite scripture is our words are like apples of gold, pitchers of silver. Well, if you want good words, then you have to not only sow them, but also learn. Know your vocabulary. Think about what you're saying to those children, to your husband.
Yeah.
Think about what you're saying to yourself. Ouch and amen. Hello. And as we know, words are very powerful. Words have life. You can take a situation, and it's a sunshine situation, and you can turn it into the darkest moment of the day. And my thing is,
too,
I've had to learn this, and I've even journaled it. My thing is, no parking. Don't park there. If I parked where this sickness had me, I'd be in a terrible state.
Mm.
Thanks again to God, I said earlier today. 32 years ago, my son was born. I was paralyzed for 8 weeks. 32 years later, I'm still here. I'm not paralyzed. God is great.
Amen. And you had every reason under the sun, if you from an emotional standpoint, to get frustrated. God, why is this happening to me? Some of us fail to realize that sometimes stuff happens. And it's not that we want to blame God for what's going on. We can't get an answer to our situation or our circumstance. So we blur it out at the first one or the closest one to us. And that happens spiritually. It happens physically. But one thing I do want to point out, and I'm going to take another scripture, and I'm going to throw it out there. But before I do, ladies, is there any one of you that wants to come in and not challenge, but add to what's been said to this present point in time? I do want to give you that opportunity. Anybody? Okay. I get nobody on that one. So here is another one. And tell me how true is that now. Sister Vera here on Facebook Live says abuse has been shoved under the rug. We really don't address it in our culture. This topic needs to be continued to discussion, and that's what we're doing, Sister Vera. We are here. If you want to join us, you see the number in back of me, 646-564-9842. We do welcome you to the stage if you decide you want to come on, 646-564-9842. We're going to talk about abuse for the rest of the month. And while I'm thinking about it, before we move any further, next week's show, we do have an author coming on. She wrote a book called Guided Faith. Her name is Evangelist Sophia Sewer. Excuse me, that's S-E-W-E-R. And we're going to spend a few minutes talking with her. This young lady, she'll tell her story better than I can. She was literally held hostage for a certain amount of time. And her person that was holding her hostage was exceptionally abusive toward her. And she's going to talk about that next week. And then I want to make sure I make this comment because we try to do it in an hour. We'll probably go a few minutes over today, but we try to wrap up in an hour. On the following week, which is Thanksgiving, we will have a pre-recorded session. And all that are on the line right now, I will probably record it, and then I'll just email it to Sister Kimmy Kim so that she can post it. As a matter of fact, let me say this too. Next Thursday, I will be in St. Louis, Missouri, so I'll be sitting right next to the producer. If I I'm going to be in her hair.
Look out.
And she's like, oh,
look
God.
Out.
He's coming for real, isn't
that.
He?
Look out.
But really, you know, and
it will
Kim
be
Kim
fine.
I love her. It will be. It will
That's why
be.
We're praying.
Yeah, you see how they're abusing me, y'all. Y'all hear this? Anyway,
oh,
here's one for you.
You hear the tendency, you hear him
speak. Listen to this. Here we go. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. And this is for those who have people who are abusive toward you and are trying to push your buttons and put you in a position where they want you to respond negatively, because there are people out there that are waiting for you to say the wrong thing at the right time so they can bust you to the white meat. This is what they're doing. Let's just be honest about it. Proverbs 15 and 1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Anybody, I'm not going to ask whether you agree with it or disagree with it, because the Bible's right all by itself. Even if you don't believe it. Anybody on that scripture? Anybody? Come on. Anybody? And nobody's commenting. But really, think about it. How many times have you commented? And I'm going to tell you where you do it the most. Since I didn't get anybody to, some of these people are crazy. On Super Live, they say some of the dumbest stuff. I promise you, I'm not even going to repeat it. It's fun, but I'm so not going to repeat it. Oh, my God. You people are five. Grow up. Stop it.
Lord,
anyway,
we thank you. We thank
on.
You for him remaining composed. Thank you.
Anyway, I'm going to look at it this way. The bottom line is simply this. When you dealing with someone, and especially on your job, or they put you in charge of something and you have large amounts of people that you have to sort of kind of lead in any kind of orchestrated or organized situation, the worst thing you can do is blow up at the people who are supposed to be working with you. And I know there are points in times when I have to stop myself. And Sister Kimmy Kim will tell you, ain't no sense of me sitting here trying to play like I'm super safe. I have had moments on the radio where I just boom, because it happens, and I try my best to not allow it to. It almost happened today. I'm sitting there waiting. The show is going on, and folk are not in their proper place, and I'm not throwing anybody under the bus. This is just me in radio. I mean, Evangelist Brown, many of you don't know, we were on the same station, and we took that station from a regular college station to a stellar award. We were nominated on 7 different occasions for the Stellars, and that took some work. It took us trying to learn how what dead air was. I'm sharing this with you because you got to understand, when you're in a high-pressure situation, we didn't play CDs until the latter end of our career on radio. In the beginning, we played vinyl.
Amen.
And
that.
You had that
vinyl.
Time
yep.
to put this. And tell them, come on, talk. Come on, Brown, tell them. You had that much time.
Amen. We had
cassettes.
We had vinyl.
that there was not dead air. You also had to make sure you were watching the board. You also had to make sure you had the emergency broadcast system up, because if they buzzed in and you didn't make that announcement, the radio station got fined. Oh, my, we had so much going on. And you had to log every song you played. Whoa.
Amen.
Yep, I remember.
On top of that, you're taking phone calls. On top of that, you were the weatherman or weatherwoman. You were the traffic man or traffic woman.
That's
you were.
That's right.
You were all that. We did all that.
Amen.
But times have changed now. Everybody's got a hype man now. They've got piped in weather, piped in traffic, piped in nutritional information, editorials, the whole 20 yards. Everything is piped in now. But back in the day, it was just you. You were the one man show. And if that, give me his name, the Benny and them guys. Well, they were the general manager. If they heard dead air, oh, trust me, the phone would ring. You know what's going on down there. You know, and
what are you doing? What are you doing?
And I'm, it was high pressure back then. It really was high pressure back then, because their concept was for every second of dead air, you lose 200 or 300 people listening. And most of those people listening are people that may be just traveling through. They may just be coming through your area from the time they pick you up. And ours, I think, where did it go out? A 30-mile radius, was it, Lauren, I believe, or something like that?
35, yeah, you're right. You're close.
Yeah, from the time they pick that signal up to the time that signal left them, if they got a second of dead, and I know for myself, I was coming in one time, and I wasn't listening to our gospel show. I was listening to the show Rusty was on at the time, and Rusty had that 5 seconds of dead air, and just that quick, I was ready to turn the channel because I thought the station had gone down. So I kind of learned firsthand. This is when I say something about dead air, I'm not talking to hear myself talk. I'm talking because I've been there and have been through that war and know what it takes. Your audience, even on social media, while I'm talking right now, I give enough space of dead air, and those people who are on social media will be gone before I could say my last name. But that's just that's just what it is. That's just what it is. The main thing, let me go to the next scripture here. We got a hot-tempered man stirs up strife. That's Proverbs 15 and 18. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. And Solomon, who is the writer of most of the Proverbs that you read about, is sharing something with you. This is wisdom. These are nuggets. Somebody that has an anger problem, somebody that can't control their anger, somebody who lacks the ability to keep their emotions under control, will put themselves in a position. How many people do you know? And I'm sorry, I preached something about this a couple of weeks ago. Think about this. How many knife fights could have been avoided if somebody controlled their mouth? As a matter of fact, I know what it was. The message was, words start wars. Watch your mouth. I remember that.
Amen.
And I remember saying this. How many knife fights could have been avoided if somebody could have held their tongue? How many gun fights could have been avoided if somebody had held their tongue? How many fist fights? How many broken nose? How many families that could have avoided jail or could avoid the Hatfield-McCoy-type situation if these individuals had kept their tongue under some kind of semblance and order? Somebody with a hot temper would stir up strife and create such a commotion to the place and point that it would escalate and probably could even become deadly. Think about that.
Jesus.
It says, but Jesus go to quiet contention. And that's our main goal. We want to live peaceably with all men in every situation and in every circumstance. And one of the reasons why we cannot live peaceably with all men, it's simply because all men are not wanting to live peaceably. Some people just can't help themselves. They think they are word warriors. I'll say it like that. They know everything. You can't tell them anything. But they're not understanding how this thing works. Because when you part your lips to say something, let wisdom flow out of your mouth. Let excellence come out of your life, out of your mouth. Minister grace to the hearers. Why they got to hear your little salty speech? Some people have gone, and I read that thing to you earlier about being in traffic jams, getting late to work, and your boss chewing you out all day long, and you're already upset. And then some crazy person comes by and says the wrong thing to you at the right time. The first thing you want to do is bust them to the white meat. And now let's talk about road rage. Think about road rage.
Amen. Amen.
What's the reason for road rage? All these are abuses because these individuals have become fed up because of something that is either being done to them or something that has been done to them. You know, these things are worth talking about on this day and age. I'm going to bring this thing in, and then I'm going to ask you, Pastor Henderson. I know I had you on the sidelines most of the way, but, you know, when you get ready to jump in, I know you will. We're going to definitely give an opportunity for those who don't know Jesus Christ and the pardoning of their sins. We're going to make that opportunity for those individuals to do that. But before I do, let's get some closing remarks here. Remember this, words can start wars. And if you allow your words to start a war, I certainly hope you got the artillery to go to battle with, because if you don't, you better learn what these scriptures say, because, honey, please, they ain't playing in this day and age. People are losing. I heard stories of a guy because his paycheck was short, shot and killed his boss.
What?
They exchanged words. They exchanged words. Went to his car, got his gun, came back in and shot and killed his boss over his paycheck.
Yes.
Now, you could have fixed that paycheck. But now guess what? You ain't getting the short, and you ain't going to get the chance to cash the check. You know, that's kind of sad, you say?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, and if you think about it, too, look at how illogical that is. And then if you want to go on to even domestic violence, if you want to go on to these mass shootings, look at how illogical they are. It's an attack not only upon society, but an attack on each and every one of those individuals from a person who cannot or will not articulate what the source of their issue is. God can heal you if you tell him what's going on. He knows what's going on, but he wants to hear it from you. Do you want to be healed?
Amen.
Do you want to be saved? Say something. You know, then if you go to the road rage, I mean, right over here on Broadway, this young man was so angry because someone passed him on the left-hand side. I guess it was the wrong, that he totaled three cars and killed three people.
Wow.
Wow.
For what? And it's right here on Yale campus, and they don't talk about it. You know, the young man who stuffed that lady in the wall at Yale, they don't talk about that.
They,
you know,
wait a minute, back up.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Bishop. The best way to get the enemy and to expose him is the best way to fight him. Start with the exposure first. And if
Amen.
That takes some sort of self-inventory or admission, then so be it. But as long as we, as a society, as long as we keep letting these things happen and happen, and even now with these young girls that are going out gangbanging and shooting, they had a shootout in broad daylight. And I'm like, the girl was 16 or 17 years old. Okay? Over some girl in whatever, what arrived with their relationship. You know, and the access—don't even start about the access to firearms. Come on, now. I never heard of so many people having guns.
Well, listen, we're going to do this, and I appreciate each one of you, and I'm going to invite each of you to come back with me next week. As I said, Evangelist Sophia Thor is going to be with us for the first part of our, and we're going to do a brief interview. Come with your questions. Come with your comments. When I do an interview, it is not about me and me alone. It's about us and sharing and getting things out that people can understand. I want to thank each and every one of you. I'm going to give you final comments. Evangelist Brown, final comments. Sister G. Johnson, final comments. Kimmy Robinson. And then we're going to have you come, Pastor Henderson, to do the invocation. And then I'll wrap it up, and we're going to call it a night. How does that sound?
Amen.
First person.
My final comment would be, if you believe that you have been abused, if you believe that you've been mistreated, then by all means, first of all, check yourself. Are you saved? Do you want to be saved? And then take it to God. I believe anything and everything can be prayed over and prayed for. And it's very important, depending on where you are in your walk with God. And if you don't know how to pray, then call, that's what the word says, call for the elders of the church. You don't have to give them all the details, but let them know. Say, yeah, I need you to pray for me. Just call my name out before the Lord. Trust me, it works.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Thank you, Bishop.
Don't go too far.
Okay.
This is Gigi Johnson.
Okay. Well, I tell you, she really said a mouthful. And, you know, which is one of the things I was going to say is take it to the Lord in prayer. And if you don't know how to pray, go and ask somebody that knows how to pray. Go to the elders of the church or someone that you know that is spiritual. And, you know, and just ask God to help you. I know I ask them every day. I have to pray every day to this job that I go on. I tell you. He have me praying like never before. Amen. So great, great conversation tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, Dr. Kibby Robinson.
Basically, just know that no matter what you're faced in life, God got you, and He will never place more on you than you can bear. Once again. Abuse is never okay. You are being watched by God on how you treat others. So be careful on how you treat people and how you talk to them, because if you are a child of the Most High God, you must be careful on how you treat His children. And so that is what I would say, and I would land the plane.
All right, her plane has landed. Apostle. Pastor Henderson, we're going to make an apostle out of you sooner or later, aren't we?
Amen. We thank and praise God for the discussion tonight. It's a very relevant topic, and it's so much that can be said and so much that has been said tonight. And we read that scripture out of Proverbs, the 15th chapter, that the soft answer turns away wrath, and that's wisdom right there. And, you know, the Bible says we overcome evil with good. And when, even though evil is happening to us and bad things are happening, but to be wise and to do good, and the Spirit of God will overcome that. And it's so much needed that we need conflict resolution topics and discussions like this and open forums, because we need it not just in the workplace, but we need it in all facets of our society right now, because people do not know how to handle their anger. They don't know how to handle the things that they're dealing with. And what the enemy does is an open door for the enemy to get in and bring that spirit of rebellion, to bring that spirit of retaliation, bring that spirit of murder. And so we really need to be talking about these things on a constant so that people can understand, amen, what's really happening, and not allow the enemy to get into their situation, which may be a real situation, a real issue, but not allow the enemy to come in and take hold and cause someone to do something that will change and alter their whole life. So this is such a relevant topic tonight, and I look forward to the next discussion in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you've been listening tonight, we pray that something has been said tonight, amen, that has been helpful to you, amen, something that will cause you to have an understanding, amen, that God has better, amen, and that God has good plans for His people. Amen. If you listen tonight, you have not received the Lord as your Savior, amen. It's not very hard, amen. If you haven't received Him, amen, you're missing the best opportunity of your life, amen. God just tells us to acknowledge, amen, that we need Him. Our dependency is in Him. And then to believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and that He rose the third day. Amen. He carried your sins away and He took your place that you may have a life and have a life eternal in the heavenly. And that you must confess Him as Lord and Savior of your life to receive him as your Lord and Savior and to be filled with the Holy Ghost, that you can be empowered to live the life, amen, that he's called us to live. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you tonight. We thank you for each listener that has been tuned in tonight. Lord, we pray that something that has been said that has been enlightening, that has turned the light on in their thoughts, that has turned the light on of your word, oh God, in their hearts. God, anyone that may be challenged tonight, that's dealing with conflict, that's dealing with problematic situations in the workplace, in their family, in their relationships, God, that you, oh God, Lord, would give peace, oh God, that you would give wisdom and understanding, oh God, on how to maneuver and how to navigate, oh God, through the situations in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your love permeate from heart to heart. Cover with your blood, God, and remove, oh God, remove the trouble, remove, oh God, the hinderer that comes to hinder, that comes to still kill and destroy. Lord, in the name of Jesus, let your salvation be wrought. Let deliverance, oh God, and healing take place in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you tonight that you're the Savior. We thank you tonight that nothing too hard for you. No problem is too big for you. No conflict, no situation is too big for you to resolve. So we speak resolution tonight. We speak peace tonight. We speak an answer, oh God, in the midst of the trouble tonight to somebody's situation. Lord, allow someone to receive the breakthrough, the healing, the deliverance that they need. And Lord, we believe, oh God, that you're able to do it. So Lord, send your help. And God, we give you praise and give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Hey.
Yeah.
We do want to remind you that if you're being abused verbally, emotionally, if you're being abused psychologically, physically, sexually, if you know somebody that's abusive toward animals or anything of that nature, there is a number that you can call, the National Hotline for Abuse. It's 800-799-7233. That number again is 800-799-7233. Help is available. You do not have to stay in that situation. You don't have to live in that situation. You do not have to be in that situation. You're only in prison and in your spiritual Egypt because you're enjoying the leeks, garlics, and onions. Let me tell you like this, all that stuff I just mentioned only makes your breath stink. What am I trying to say? As long as you stay where you are, whatever comes your way is simply because you refuse to move. It reminds me of the story of the frog that was set in a pan of water that was set on the stove, and they turned the burner on. And the frog stayed in the water. And as the water began to warm up, instead of the frog getting out of the water, the frog stayed there. Finally, the water came to a boil and boiled the frog to death. The moral of the story is the frog had every opportunity to escape, but because he was happy with the water he was in, it burned him alive. I'm Bishop Ernest E. Richard Jr. Thank you. This has been another open mic with the bishop. Thank you to my panel, Dr. Let me go down the line properly. Pastor Anna Henderson, to evangelist Lauren Bishop Brown, to my dear sister and soon to be evangelist Sister G. Johnson, to Dr. Kimmy Robinson, and to you, the listening audience. Seeing you next week. You can go to Spreaker Radio, iHeartRadio, Blog Talk Radio, Spotify, and you can download Elations. I believe it's Elations Radio. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, straighten me out if I got it wrong. I want to make sure they can go there, and you can hear this podcast again. On behalf of those who make up the panel and those who are listening to Open Mic with the Bishop, I'm Bishop Ernest E. Richard Jr. saying you have a great night. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, I would so greatly appreciate it if you would go ahead and launch that song. You guys have a great night. To my social media people, God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. And we will catch you later. God bless. Go ahead, Dr. Robinson. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You've been listening to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. If this podcast has been a blessing to you,
then please consider sowing into this ministry. A $20 gift or more would be appreciated. You can do so through Cash App. Just use $PowerToStand or on PayPal, Pritchard719@gmail.com. On behalf of Bishop Richard and the Open Mic panel, I'm Nina Taylor saying have a blessed week. We'll see you soon.